Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sandpits Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
You fucking ready?
Man, I'll be your wingman anytime.
I watched Top Gun 1 and Top Gun 2 in the same day today.
That's so fucking sick.
I could kill a man.
I watched it in 24 hours.
I could fuck a plane.
I actually feel this is the most American patriotic I've felt. I have zero American lineage, but I'm like on usnavy.gov.us right now.
Yeah.
Finding how the fuck I can like give up my rights and my life to fight for stars and stripes. I want to be living on a carrier with 99% men and like a token woman. And I want to be like ready to like, at the drop of a fucking hat, go just like do covert op missions that I'll probably never return from.
I
also want my teacher to be an older guy who worked with my dad who's dead and maybe has a lot of guilt about that, and maybe it'll bring us closer during it. I don't know.
Just a pretty easy.
That sounds like a pretty good story, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good story.
I caught myself driving like from the cinema to your house and just saluting.
What mark were you
saluting other drivers next to me?
I tried to break Mark 9, but yeah, I think so. The steering wheel caught on fire. Fuck, man, we have literally walked out of top. Well, not literally, we drove.
We drove. But
we're half hour fresh out of TG2.
And like we won't talk spoilers in this episode. From the top, we'll let you know.
Dude, this is not a spoiler episode. Also, you can't really spoil a movie like Top Gun. It's about like people
Jesus
flying.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. But it was like, I can't, I guess like even watching the first one today, great movie. One of the best of Jerry Bruckheimer's produced, you know.
It's like the one that set the standard, right? It's like, this is what the type of movie we can be dishing out. You know what I mean? Like it's the template of like,
but also like
what
like,
came.
Like, in the big scheme of things, not much happens in Top Gun.
It's basically just training for 80% of it. This is what I was saying to Noon on the way home. Like the funny thing with Top Gun, everyone's good in it. They're all like elite pilots. So it's like there's no room for a bad person because like they wouldn't be there.
Totally.
And so it's just like very microaggressions, if that, because they also like respect the hell out of the people.
It's also gay as hell.
Oh, and it's like the gayest movie ever.
Yeah, yeah,
the first
it.
Movie is like...
Like the tension between Val Kilmer and Tom Cruise in that movie is
they could
like,
fuck at any moment. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's Goose who's like, you know, comic relief, and he like I don't know, everyone's gay in that movie.
Yeah,
and everyone, you know,
Goose is like the only one that has like confirmed fucked. I don't, even though there is a sex scene between,
doesn't look like his kid.
Tom Cruise and what's her name?
That one, Rebecca.
That one,
something.
No, it's not Rebecca.
Maybe they soaked. You know about soaking?
Yeah, I think they soaked.
I reckon Tom's big on the soaking.
Goose has fucked because he's created a child.
Yeah, canonically Goose has fucked.
I don't think anyone else in that movie is actually. I think it's a very gay but asexual movie. These guys, instead of having sex, they fly planes.
Don't ask, don't tell vibes. That era of the military. But it is like, yeah, I was watching, man, I bought it on iTunes a while ago. And it's sick because they update it to like 4K when it comes out and stuff.
That is so sick.
Oh, it's sick. But it's like, you know, I bought it as HD.
Yeah.
But now it's 4K copy,
sure.
Which from the top, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's sick is it came with a 2.5... It's longer than the movie. It's a 2.5 making of.
So My biggest thing coming out of Top Gun 2 is I want to see that so bad.
I want a four-hour making of it. I want it to be in cinemas.
Tom Cruise like learned how to fly a plane in this.
Like, he's really
that's
good
the,
at
the biggest difference between Top Gun 1 and 2 is that
Top Gun is still like, you know, amazing because they use the real fighter jets and they're actually flying, and like I think they developed, like I haven't watched all of the making of yet, but they developed rigs with real cameras because they were like, we are not doing this on a soundstage.
But
and you
like,
can tell while watching
totally.
It, but
also
it's limited by its technology.
Compared to the sequel as well, like the cameras are very tight.
Well, that's what I mean. It's limited by its technology. Like it's basically extreme close-ups and like shots of, you know, you can tell they went out for a couple days, probably shooting people flying around and cut it together to make a narrative, but like not a lot. And that's like 30 plus years old.
Also, my favorite thing about the first Top Gun movie is that
besides
like,
the volleyball scene,
which is, man, that was, I even texted you today. I was like, do you think Tom Cruise will play volleyball in the sequel?
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
We're not saying it in this episode.
But like, I want to say like the funniest thing about Top Gun to me, and I like, this is a movie that I grew up watching, like as in I haven't seen it since I was, I reckon, an early teenager, like still old enough to be, to like go to someone's house and like their parents go out and the older sister has to look after us. So we watch Top Gun.
That's
and,
like,
we're like 13, 14.
I love that.
Like
that. That's real like, you know, some boys put on a porno.
Some boys, we're like, this sister's with us, you know? Everyone likes Top Gun.
No, don't you, didn't you? I've never had a sibling. I assume you watch pornos with people's sisters.
That's what family's all about.
Yeah. I felt like Tom and Maverick, they're just like, no family.
I got to give a shout out to, you'll love this. Yeah. So one of my best friends in primary school and early high school was Nick Watson.
Does he have a call sign?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, guess what his nickname was?
Maverick?
Watto.
Oh, wow. Chance cubes.
Watto the Gronk at one point for a good year or so.
Yeah. So meaning like if you're in the playground and like, what did you say, primary or high school?
Primary, he was just Watson, I think.
So then he became Watto the Gronk.
Watto and then Watto the Gronk.
So in a sentence, would you yell out to him and be like, hey, Watto the Gronk?
Watto, it would be like, Watto, your Gronk. But right. Then when you called him and if he didn't answer, it would be like, you know.
I just got a message from someone saying, who never contacts me, saying, how was Top Gun? I'm aching to see it. Like this movie is.
Just write back Danger Zone.
Just write back. Yeah, fuck. I don't know what to say. I'd be like, download PayFam where we talk about it.
So you would call Watto and then it would be like that generic, like, you know, hi.
You've reached.
You've reached. And then we'd go, man, this is Watto the Gronk. He can't reach the phone right now. But
you set his voicemail?
That was him saying it. So you called him and it would be him saying, man, this is Watto the Gronk.
He sounds like a sick dude.
Yeah, so I watched Top Gun with Watto the Gronk at least 10 times.
So his
call
sign would have been Watto, obviously.
Yeah, for
what
sure.
What would have yours been? Lev Dog.
I mean, until I had COVID.
Yeah, Lev Dog. Lev Dog's a good call sign.
Definitely, yeah.
I don't know what I would have.
Big Dick Gus.
It's going to be short
too many,
and sweet.
You're right, yeah, sure.
We'll get to that later. Yeah. We'll figure it out. It'll come to us.
No, Assassin.
Oh, yeah. Assassin, of course. Oh, yeah. That's sick. Fuck, we should get helmets for when we record with just mics in them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then put it and be like, yeah, that'd be sick. And just drive around the streets pretending we're flying.
But so anyway, I like...
Fuck, I'm so amped from this movie, dude.
Dude, like I told you, like I was thinking about... I was soaking the entire movie.
Yeah. I'm so glad we had that leg room because we sat in the row that's kind of not quite the back half of the cinema and not quite the front half, but that like... If you've ever been to a premiere, they will always have A4 pieces of paper on it saying reserved.
Yes.
And we just somehow they weren't.
We got the fucking king seats.
We were center cinema, literally. If it was the golden ratio of seats. Like if you dropped a pin where we were sitting, it is like, that is when, like it is the spot when Chris Nolan, Tarantino, Ryan Johnson, Tom Cruise all write letters to like TV companies saying you need to turn off true like motion, like blur or whatever. What they're thinking about the cinema experience is where we were sitting.
Yeah, like the host of a morning show in Australia, Koshy, he was at the premiere. He walked past us in the seats every time he walked past, scowled at us.
Yeah,
because we got the golden.
Oh, he was like, he's gonna fire his assistant tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So look, rewatching Top Gun today, and like I know the songs in this movie so well because I DJ weddings a lot, and you have to play a lot of 80s shit.
Yeah.
And so. I'm very familiar with the songs
Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins. Boys,
and
Take My Breath Away.
But is that by Europe?
No, it's not Europe.
Or is it Berlin? How funny is like in the fucking 70s and 80s?
Yeah, Japan. Remember there was Japan?
There was America.
Chicago. Yeah. A band name that always got me. Do you remember that band that's just called Bread? Is it called Bread or something?
Yeah. It's Bread, yeah.
It's Berlin, you're right.
Berlin.
Take My Breath Away. Dude, you know what Bop said I was blasting on the way to the movie? Playing with the Boys 12-inch version. It's like seven minutes of Playing with the Boys.
Mad.
Which is like, and this is like fully, you know, endorsement. It's the gayest song ever. Because like, it's the gayest song. And then it's gayer when you have seen Top Gun.
What's that mean? Like this is the Top Gun. The reason I first saw Top Gun was that Watto the Gronk's dad, Mr. the Gronk, said, "Hey boys, let's watch Top Gun."
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it was the bonding movie you watch with the boys.
It's dadcore.
Exactly.
It's dadcore.
Yeah. But yeah, so I watched this movie heaps of times. I never realized, like, they play Danger Zone about five times in this movie. Yeah.
There's a scene where like another popular song just is faded out. So Danger Zone can start and you're just like, oh, okay, we're doing this.
And then Take My Breath Away again. It's like three or four times in the movie too. It's like the love theme. Between
it's every time you see him like him on a bike heading to that chick.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fantastic bass line.
Even Goose's song, he sings Goodness Gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
By Jerry Lee
Lewis. He sings the first verse
nine times.
Yeah, like so that's the only part he
knows. Maybe they only had the rights to that. Too much love makes man. So as a kid, I was obsessed with that scene.
That's amazing.
And would like fast forward it, and like that became one of my favorite songs. Also, it's in, remember the Mad Balls?
Like those, the like, little toys. Yeah, yeah.
But do you remember they had, did you ever watch, I guess like,
oh, they made a cartoon based on the Mad Balls. We have talked about that.
But remember, like, now they would call them, if this was Japan, they would have been called OVAs. Remember they'd make a 1 half-hour video that I guess then, you know, back, it was the 80s when like they made shows to sell toys, like the toys.
Of course, yeah.
But I had the videotape of the Mad Balls. It's actually pretty crazy. I want to like do a deep dive on it one time. Apparently we might have done it, but we forget things we say. But they sing Goodness Gracious, Great Balls of Fire. And that was like 89. And that's when I was like,
Gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
What I love, I will say, one of the most unrealistic things about Top Gun Maverick is that someone who's like in their 20s is into Jerry Lee Lewis.
Well, I mean, his dad was, I guess. Like
it's like his memory. Yeah, yeah. Canonically, it's his memory. I saw Jerry Lee Lewis.
Were you like listening?
I went to one of the last Letterman tapings and Jerry Lee Lewis was the guest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really Amy Poehler, Jerry Lee Lewis, and the band. It's like a fucking crazy band, like that shouldn't have been the band. Like a, it'll come to me later.
21 Pilots.
No, like a black metal band.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Mastodon or something.
No, it was Mastodon.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, they had like the tattoo on his head. It was like math metal.
Yeah,
Jerry Lee Lewis, who's like married his cousin at least twice, and Amy Poehler.
I was thinking just, of like a darker band that would be accepted on a like a late show.
And you got
stage.
It right. Yeah, because I think they put out an album, but like it was the weirdest
like hipster
thing.
Metal.
Yeah. Still, that's like the it was also like 3 in the afternoon just watching Mastodon shred while Jerry Lee Lewis is sitting there. I was like, goodness gracious. I told you about it when I went. I put my name down to go because I knew it was like the last year of Letterman being taped. So I was like,
what was the top 10? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
Damn, bro.
I don't know, but I do remember
starting to doubt your story.
No, I definitely went. It's on. We'll find it. I found it again. I like looked it up because I remember the date. I had the email. Oh, they called to confirm if it's really you got one of the tickets. Because you have to put in a, like, you leave your name on a list like 6 weeks.
Did you pay or?
No, but I forgot I put it in. I put it in before I went to America. Then 6 weeks into my trip. Because it was like maybe, like 6 or 7 weeks. I got a phone call and I answered and which was strange because like no one knew my number over there. But they were like, oh, hi, this is like whatever from thingy. And they're like, to prove that you really did leave it, you need to say, what is Paul Schrader known for? Like the musician.
Right.
And I was like, being bald. And they're like, yeah, that's true. Like, you do know what the show is. You can come. Like, I think they must get bots or something. But
that's
funny. I was like, he wears glasses and like loud jackets. Like, and they're like, yeah, yeah, that's true. And I'm like, could have I said he sung as well? And they're like, yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, he's a band leader. And they're like, yeah, yeah, all of those are right.
Great.
I was like, that's that's
you just keep listing Paul Schrader facts. But it's like such poor, instead of a assistant. Bot
that's like so funny.
Yeah.
It's just like, I didn't even watch Letterman, but like I wanted to go.
Yeah, I mean, like it's weird. I think now it'd be easier to, you know, if something good happens on a late show, we'll watch the 5 minute YouTube of
it. Back then they were legendary. You had to like, you'd hear about it or you'd only get like the musical performances.
Yeah,
you know, like, what I mean?
Anyone that said, any Australian that says they watched Conan is lied. Fucking lied.
Yeah, because it would have been on television maybe once a week and it never stuck to schedule. One night it would be like 11:20 p.m. One night it would be like 12:10. No one watched it. The only Conan I watched was musical performances. Around LimeWire, I used to download. I downloaded like every Strokes television performance when I was in high school and they did like, I think they did a week on Conan. They're like, they just were the band for each night, which is such a, That's such a cool thing to think of that, I don't know, that just wouldn't happen now.
Mm.
And that's like all I knew, like him with the white stripes, him with that. Like I found out more about him when he lost the show. Remember all that controversy?
Of course, no, that Leno. Era was when it was you were able to watch it online.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Parts of it, you know, that was YouTube.
And anyone generation. Who says they grew up watching actual SNL episodes and not just like the best of SNL DVDs in Australia also totally. Lied.
Yeah, but Letterman aired. I did used to watch that because
my dad used to watch
it. I used to just like stay up because I wanted to. Yeah. And you would just watch whatever was on TV.
I remember the first time I saw it, I was with my parents, were staying at the Novotel in Sydney for something. And my dad like loved this joke. He kept like repeating it the next day because I think it was Chinese New Year. No, he didn't do the eyes, but David Letterman said like something like, oh, it's year of the rat now. Yeah, I got to remember that. I keep signing all my checks. Year of the like pig. Like, and my dad thought that was like the funniest joke. And I just remember that joke. It's like a nice memory I have like me and my dad and him just being like, damn, that's like a great joke. Like he was explaining the nuance of it to me.
That'll be like,
and I was like, hey, like I don't have a checkbook. Like I don't know why I'm signing it. And yeah,
that'll be my kids when they have their podcasts. When like, they're like, oh, dad, watch this show called, I Think You Should Leave, and just used to like sing about.
I told you I showed my dad I Think You Should Leave, didn't I?
Oh, did it blow his mind?
Oh man, he gave me a damn Flashers shirt. Did I show you that?
You did actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. I stayed there last week because Mother's Day is the one where it's like the same day in America and Australia, isn't
right?
It? And
yeah.
I think Father's Day is the one where it's like split, like over different whatever.
No. Father's Day is different everywhere.
That's what I meant. It's everywhere, but Mother's Day is the same, which is pretty funny. It's probably a great, cool joke in that about like dads being so forgetful. But yeah, I was down there last weekend and watching like, I think you should, it was actually last Monday because I don't work Mondays and I was going to drive back up that night to Sydney. And I was like, have you seen You Think You Should Leave? And he's like, no. So I kind of did like a best of. I went like straight to Triples' Best.
Yeah.
Dan Flashers.
Did you do The Night the Skeletons Came to Life?
Night the Skeletons Came to Life.
I watch that with my kids all the time.
What else from season? I did The Paper, The Receipt, like Eat the Receipt. Like just that the Dan Flashers. I think we watched the whole Dan Flashers episode. Then when it cuts back to the store and you see like everyone going crazy in there. And he just got upset. He was like, he loved Dan Flashers, like how intricate. And then as I was leaving, I had my luggage out the front of the house, like, you know, in the front room. And there's just this like loud shirt there. And he's like, I want you to have this Dan Flashers shirt. Like, like an hour later I left, but during dinner, he just out of the blue, he's like, what was the name of that like loud shirt company again? And I was like, oh, Dan Flashers. And then I just thought maybe he was just thinking about it. But then I realize now he asked because he wanted to just drop it on me as I was leaving.
No, your dad like immerses himself in prestige television. It's amazing. Yeah. Like if anyone wants to know like, you know, where Angus learned how to be an assassin, if you ever go to visit his parents, and you're wondering, like, hey, where's his dad gone?
He's
sitting in a separate room from everyone else with his AirPods, which is connected to his TV.
To the Apple TV.
Yeah. And just watching, like, the seventh episode of some, like, you know,
some Apple, prestige drama
Apple TV
that just
Plus dropped. Drama. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And he'll give you the full review.
He's like, oh, you're not watching it?
Oh, you're not? And you're like, no, because I do think.
Oh, it's a great show. Yeah, he's great. Shouts to Rob.
He's
previous
amazing.
Guest of the show.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that.
I think the only like
family member,
the only person like,
oh,
the
right,
only,
my kids,
probably the oldest guest.
Oldest guest, yeah, yeah. Sure. Okay.
I was gonna say the only dad, but that's not true. We've had plenty of parents or parents to be.
Oh yeah, okay, true.
In fact, I might be the only person that doesn't have a kid on the show. I told you I'm the maverick of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're wondering,
We sound like we've done 9 lines of cocaine? It's
I drank about 4 Pepsi Maxes.
Yeah,
That's
a movie you can't do with beer. I think like you couldn't go to sleep or get sluggish. I get like forgetful when I would drink beer and watch movies. But
right.
This is a movie where you need to like rack up.
I disrespected Top Gun 2. I had to run out to take a piss because I drank 4 Pepsi Maxes.
It's like fine. Like it's a movie I think you could leave for. Like,
you summed up what happened while I was
in
gone.
In 3 words. And, I was like, person did this.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing that.
Yeah.
And then Noon went to the... Noon was the ultimate wingman.
This is wild.
Yeah, this is so nice.
Me, Angus and Noon went and saw it.
And we had another seat blank to Noon and there's like no one sat in it. And that's just like... That's just sick. That's just like... I love that because...
People kept
like,
asking if like anyone was sitting in the 2 seats next to us.
Go away.
I was like, Noon's one. Just one of those seats is taken.
Yeah, it's a good seat.
You can sit next to Noon if you want.
Yeah.
And I sat down and I made him feel bad. I was like, I'm not sitting next to you because you're going to like... tell me spoilers for the movie like you did for Doctor Strange. She's like, oh no, I don't know any for this one. And anyway, like half an hour into Top Gun 2, Noon fucks off. He just gets out of his seat. I thought
it was like a piss run.
We're like, what are you, what's he doing? God, can you believe it?
He's gone for maybe like a minute and a half.
Yeah, and then he comes back with three chocolate ice creams. Just hands them out. Just gives them to us.
Mr. Whippy.
Just ran out. That's his call sign. Ice creams.
That was the kingest move ever. Yeah, yeah. That was like the best thing that's ever happened during a movie to me.
Couldn't believe it.
I felt like when Archie won that Lego, like what he would have felt like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That was so sick. That made like an amazing film experience, like even better.
Yep.
It was like Oprah going, check under your seats, there's a car. Like you have a free, there's a car keys to your Tesla in the car park.
Check under your seats, Noon's brought you a choc top.
There's three Noons and they're just lying there with choc tops. That was the best. Fuck, man. What flavor did he get you? I think you got a selection.
Was it cookies and cream maybe?
Well, I had mint.
Okay, right.
Which was fine. You know, I was mint's thinking of mint recently.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I'd like to eat. Why was I thinking
Noon, mint's my favorite.
Next movie, he's going to bring you a mint. No, I'm going to do it next one. I'm going to surprise him.
I'm going to like, yeah, next premiere. I'm going to bring out ice, an esky.
I'm going to bring an ice bucket challenge. I'm going to start.
Just do the ice,
I'm
going to
do the challenge and stand up before the movie starts. I'm Angus Truscott.
Nominate.
And I nominate
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise. Angelina Jolie. And Putin. Do you think like someone like Vin Diesel sees Top Gun Maverick and is just like,
yeah, damn, my movies are stupid as fuck.
Like, I don't fly planes or drive the cars.
Yeah, I mean, like, from the behavior reports, they're both similar men.
They're short. Well,
yeah.
They're very controlling.
Sure.
Of their image.
The movies they work on.
The movies they work on.
Increasingly more so as they make more movies.
Yeah, they become very hands-on. Especially
part of the franchise.
Yeah, and end up being a producer.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot of similarities there.
For sure, but...
But Tom is the one.
Well, I mean, like, Vin is not dedicated as an actor, whereas...
Well, he would say he is.
Yeah.
And then...
Like, Tom Cruise is literally going to die acting.
And it'll be the highest grossing movie ever because they'll keep it in like Jackass. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
who died in Jackass?
No, but they're always like, if I remember like on a doco or for one of the movies, they were like, one of them was like, oh, if I die on this, keep it in.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be in the movie. Tom, I was thinking about it on the way home and even while watching Top Gun yesterday. And it's interesting to see, because I watched Top Gun 1 yesterday. But
yeah, that's a shame because I watched it today.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the same 24 hours, that felt good.
Yeah.
And I listened to the soundtrack on the way though.
Okay, yeah.
So I've been basically also felt like an extra.
I was maybe a bit overconfident in that I would hear the soundtrack three times.
It was weird to hear Danger Zone like once.
Well, yeah.
No Take My Breath Away. Which was in the trailer. Remember the trailer ended with a slow version going like
boom, or boom, also boom, you don't boom. It's not just Danger Zone once because the orchestral theme it's
course.
Like a, hits yeah. on it. On, it's almost like is it like a minor version of
Did you see it was Hans Zimmer?
Yeah.
Dude, the movie score was sick.
Hans, the movie, it was the really score tense. Is like somebody, Lady Gaga,
Hans Zimmer. Yeah. It was amazing. But there was some moment, like there were some bits where like the score's going for like 20 minutes, like tense.
Oh
like,
man. This is one the of the best like, half
The first
hours.
Movie's great like for what it is, but this is like just insane. What's the thing?
Like, I would
level.
Say like, yeah, Top Gun is an amazing example of like an 80s action movie.
It's the pinnacle.
And you watch it and you're like, oh, this is actually not like the other action movies of this era at all. No,
there's not like a, there's no like hammy villain or like monologuing for hammy
villains.
No, totally.
There's not a villain.
It's just the villain is like your edge. You know, like,
yeah, exactly.
If you're gonna lose it, or well, if
he's his
die.
Own villain.
Yeah, yeah, Maverick's his own villain because he's a maverick.
Yeah,
I mean, the best thing is Iceman's cool. Like, they actually tell you their traits with their names. And Goose is funny. He's a comic relief.
Yeah, absolutely. He's
honking
away.
They literally are just like, here are our archetypes for the film, and they're gonna have a try not to come challenge while they're doing
what's,
it.
What's Tim Robbins' character?
Warlock.
Again? No,
Merlin.
Warlock.
Merlin. No, there was a warlock
you're
in
right.
this.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes.
That's why. Right. Yeah, Merlin, there was. Yeah. They mentioned a warlock.
He's
in
the
this.
Magic man.
Yeah, he works magic. Yeah, I don't know any of the. Oh, Viper.
Yeah, Viper.
He was the teacher.
He's the older guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I flew with your dad, Maverick.
Fuck! What a good movie.
What a good franchise. It's now a franchise. How cool
funny.
Is
like,
that?
Like, even I was telling Archie that I was seeing this movie today. He's like, wait, they made it a sequel from the 80s now? I'm like, yeah, man, it's like 35 years later.
And he's like, it's as old as we are.
That's crazy. He was like, that's like Nintendo games getting sequels. Like,
and you're like, guess what, Archie? They're going to be making sequels to things that you like now. Like, this is how the world works.
And he's like, jokes on you, Dad. I like nothing.
Yeah. none of them were. Yeah.
Jokes on you, Dad.
Your son is like.
I like mathematics.
Your son is impervious to nostalgia, which we're like idiots for.
I like mathematics and hamburgers,
Dad. We're
that
meme of the two guys posting and pointing at stuff.
Yeah, 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 totally.
That's us for nostalgia. We're like, oh my God, it's fucking the old Batman theme. But like, they're going to find your son like in the future as like the one man who can save humanity because he hasn't succumbed to like nostalgia.
Liking anything.
Yeah. And he can like just walk through. You and I will be like spending our like superannuation on like the ninth like reboot of Batman that decade or something. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, it means nothing to me. Like, he is like impervious. Yeah. That's it's going to come down to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were watching it today,
and like I said, it's a pinnacle of what an 80s action movie could do. And I know that, like, I guess it comes with a lot of baggage for people. It's a very jock movie. I think that people would write off as like
it could be potentially one. I think like I think people could be like, oh, that's like a jock movie. But it's actually not really, is it? It's like they're sensitive guys.
No, absolutely. It's a very emotional movie that I think a lot of like. You know,
dude, it's one of the like all time like devastating death scenes in like an action movie. Like everybody that knows something about Top Gun, they know about Goose.
To the point where I thought it happened in the first like 10 minutes when what's his name, you know, freaks out and can't do the mission anymore. I thought he was that, like, I was like, oh, now Goose is gonna cark it. But
it's like the midway point.
Well, I was getting confused with another 80s movie, Cliffhanger.
Oh, the opening scene.
The opening scene. Yeah,
of course.
But I think like a lot of people would write off the idea of watching Top Gun now, you know, because it is just an 80s action movie today.
Yeah, though I think now, before this sequel was announced or made, yes, it would have maybe faded into
80s. But maybe to those people who are like, do I want to see this sequel? You fucking want to see this sequel. It's like Mission Impossible.
The last time we left Fallout, remember you and I were like, one of the most enjoyable things about watching Fallout was just like you and I, you know, like they say, like No Way Home leaves like seconds for the audience to react.
Yeah.
Like it's like those moments are in these movies and you and I are just both always going like, fuck, man. Like I remember when we left Fallout 2, we're just like on a high because we're just like, I can't believe that movie.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, Chris McQuarrie, like.
So that, he came on this movie, right?
Tom brought him on because apparently... I think this movie was in like development hell for ages. In fact, I think I remember hearing about it like 10, 12, 15 years ago when at one point it was going to be about drones and like Maverick like being anti-drone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Though there is a line or two about that in this, but Chris McCrory was brought on because Tom thought the script didn't have enough heart.
Yeah.
And this movie is like so full of heart. And
it really
like,
is.
And not in a corny way.
Well, it doesn't like... It hits the nostalgia, but in like, I guess like in the opposite way that No Way Home did.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, remember this? It's like, we need to treat that first movie and its characters with the utmost respect.
It reminded me, and I know people think The Force Awakens did do No Way Home, but it kind of reminded me how The Force Awakens was done, like admitting that time and a new generation has come.
Oh yeah,
but also being respectful to what came before it, and not just like, oh, that person died.
There's totally a scene in this that reminded me of the Millennium Falcon reveal in Force Awakens.
Yeah, and it's like the way they treat the older cast. Which, if you haven't seen the cast list, we won't say. But there is more than just Tom Cruise in this movie.
God.
But like, it's done with respect. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not done like, oh, there's a photo of them on the wall. Like, you know,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really well done. And it did remind me of Force Awakens in that way where it's like new generation. Maverick is kind of like, he's more Han in Force Awakens than Luke.
And so like, yeah, there's like legacy actors from the first movie. There are like, you know, esteemed actors in the cast.
Yep.
And then there's all these young ones as well. And there is one dude who,
true king shit.
I just like, he looks slightly familiar, yeah, but he stole the show for me.
What's magnetic.
I took a photo of him.
Glenn something,
I think it's John Glenn. Or is, no, he's the astronaut.
Powell. Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell is his name? Glenn Powell. Yeah. So the last time I saw him, he actually played, is it John Glenn? Is that the name of the astronaut?
Yeah. In Hidden Figures.
That's the only thing I recognize.
He's so good. He's so good at playing people who flash.
He's fucking incredible. And he has every part of the charisma that all of the cast of the 80s movie do, but in a, like a modern way.
He's like Val Kilmer, but also Goose.
Yeah.
Like he's like Iceman and Goose.
Yeah, absolutely.
I find him because he's got that coolness, but he's also Maverick because he's like cocky.
He was like the hero of the movie for me.
While watching this, I was just like, I really hope Lucasfilm hire the cinematographer or something to do Rogue Squadron.
Fuck, man. Because like the thing, like,
or
like
get Tom Cruise to literally fly X-Wing in space.
But that's like, this, I kind of like, we were saying like Tom Cruise is kind of like the last true movie star. Wait,
but yeah, because I was saying this yesterday when I was watching it too. I was just like, he reminds me of like watching this movie tonight. It reminded me of something that Howard Hughes would have made. Where like, remember that like you actually had to, he was making movies where he was flying planes in them.
Actually, Tom Cruise and then I reckon Denzel. They're like the last two movie stars. Denzel, obviously they're in a different playing field, yeah. But Denzel also made, he made the most movies with
Tony
the director
Scott.
Of Tony.
Yeah, he made,
of
the, he made heaps of Tony like Scott. Like Man Pelham, on Fire. Man,
yeah.
Manchurian Candidate.
The fucking submarine one.
Which sub one?
Some like, you know, high octane yeah. thriller.
But I find Tom reminds me of like an era that doesn't exist anymore where if you're an actor, you did it all. Like he reminds me of like, he's one part like, like he's an amazing actor. Like I think anyone that says Tom Cruise is a bad actor is lying. But they're like lumping in
everyone,
personal shit.
There is no difference between, obviously like the only thing.
Oh, he's different in like Magnolia. Okay, he's different in Born
Eyes
on the
Wide
Fourth
Shut.
Of, Eyes Wide Shut. Born on the 4th of July. No, but, in Eyes Wide Shut, he's still pretty Tom Cruise. He's just like a he plays like Patrick Bateman essentially in Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah,
but like the thing is,
he played like so.
But he reminds
what
me of an actor where like
from,
you played you in
exactly.
movies, but also
which is
he reminds me of that era, like even like Buster Keaton shit, like where it's like, well, I do the stunts, like
yeah,
that
yeah,
just doesn't
course.
Happen now.
But he only that's like he added that to his repertoire.
Yeah,
as
it was
an
amazing
old man.
That he added that in his 50s.
Yeah, so he's 60 now. He turns 60
yeah.
this year.
He added it in his late 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I think he started doing it. It became a thing
3,
with Mission
right?
Impossible 2.
Two, right?
Where he's like doing the rock climbing and
of
stuff.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
And certain stunts and the no the motorbike stuff.
Yeah.
Fuck, maybe something happened to him in Australia.
Crimson Tide was the...
of course, Crimson Tide. Yeah. Which is a Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer film.
Yeah.
Is that Gene Hackman and Denzel?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to watch all Tony Scott's movies again. I was like, he's just like, his death is also like one of the most tragic things ever.
He suicided, right?
Yeah, he
really
threw himself off a bridge.
Yeah, so
yeah.
sad. And he's was cancer. A younger or older brother of Ridley?
I think he's older.
Yeah.
But yeah, he... like the rap sheet is fucking wild. Like you want, obviously Ridley Scott is like, I guess the better known of the two of them, but I feel like he has as big of a legacy as,
well, dude, he's made some of the greatest, like,
Top Gun, Beverly yeah. Hills Cop 2,
yeah.
Days of Thunder. The
Days
Last
of Thunder
Boy,
is incredible. That
Last
was the
Boy
first.
Scout.
So Days of Thunder was before Top Gun, right?
Yeah. No, after.
After, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Top Gun is like, so the first movie he makes is called The Hunger, and it's like a David Bowie vampire movie.
Whoa. That's
then,
crazy.
But he did lots of TV and
so like Ridley, he was
that.
Commercial, wasn't he? Like
yeah,
they came
yeah.
from commercial background. That's pretty amazing
yeah.
to have two.
Top Gun's his second fucking movie though. It's such an accomplished.
That's like Ridley Scott. I think his second movie is literally like Alien.
That's wild.
And you're just like, yeah. what the fuck?
The '80s were just different.
Yeah.
For film.
Ridley Scott's like so third or fourth movie is Blade Runner.
Get this. We'll do Ridley Scott after we do this. So after he makes Days of Thunder, The Last Boy Scout, then he directed True Romance.
Yeah, that's right.
Quentin
I didn't know that. He wrote it.
Yeah, yeah. No,
Tarantino
wrote it.
Yeah,
then,
and then he made True Romance.
Which
Last
also has
Boy
Val
Scout,
Kilmer in it.
Bruce Willis.
Yes, it's like
yeah.
a comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans.
Yeah, like True
Romance
is
produced
amazing.
Produced by Joel Silver and written by Shane Black.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah.
That's fucking sick.
Crazy alumni. He's one of his flops is The Fan.
Oh, that's with Robert De Niro and
Wesley
Snipes.
Yeah, yeah.
And Robert De Niro plays like a fan of the baseball player Wesley, yeah. which is kind of like the movie that
Patton Oswalt did. Big fan.
Patton Oswalt did, but also the John Travolta one where he plays.
Oh yeah, of
that
course.
Like
the
stalker
Limp Bizkit
fan.
One.
Yeah
yeah,
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 yeah. Fred Durst film.
He does Enemy of the State.
Crazy like movie. Gene.
Yep.
Who else is in it besides Will Smith and Gene? It's like. It's like
John
a comic
Voight,
relief.
Lisa Bonet, Gabrielle Byrne. Jack Black.
That's who I was thinking of. Jack yeah. Black, yeah.
Regina King. And then Spy Game with Robert Redford and Brad
yeah,
Pitt.
That was a good movie.
Remember Brad Pitt. I want to talk about Brad Pitt because I think he's the only person that like...
Because he's in True Romance.
He starts...
Is he in True Romance?
I think, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the, like 90s, the, early yeah. and mid-2000s, Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise. I think.
I was about to say, Brad has
Brad
a very
kind of,
similar trajectory to
but
Tom
then he
Cruise.
Becomes a character actor.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
And whereas like, Tom Cruise just refused to play anyone but Tom Cruise.
The only time he didn't was the
like,
Les Grossman in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, for sure. But there's nothing different between Ethan Hunt and
no, they're the same character. This,
fucking Maverick.
If this movie was called like Mission Impossible.
Top Gun.
You'd be like, yeah, it's Ethan Hunt.
Man on Fire. I don't know that one.
Man on Fire is Denzel Washington. It's like a revenge movie. It's really good.
Dakota Fanning. Christopher Walken. Shit. Hey, I got Mickey Rourke. Domino after that, another Mickey Rourke joint. I think.
That was the dog shit. No, that was
Kieran,
yeah,
Mickey Kieran Rourke, Kieran Knightley, and Edgar Ramirez. Then he did Deja Vu.
Deja Vu's Denzel.
Denzel.
Yeah.
and then The Taking a Pill in 1, 2, 3, and then Unstoppable was his last movie. And
who's he want Unstoppable?
Denzel and Chris Pine.
Oh.
And Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, I don't know that film.
Yeah, obviously, like, yeah, I guess like the last, I mean, Taking a Pelham is a classic.
Yeah.
But
it's a remake, isn't it?
There's like so many different adaptations of that. Yeah, novel. Do you want to do Ridley Scott quickly?
Oh, one of the bands that was at the premiere messaged me. They were at...
What? Oh, yeah, the Polish Club guys. They tagged you?
No, they just messaged me. I had to request it. I must not have been following them.
So they tagged you in a post.
Oh, shit.
That's so funny.
That's really funny.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Load it up. Let's see what they tagged you in. Very curious. Are you in the background of one of the photos?
Oh, there. Filming.
That's so funny. Okay, Ridley Scott. Okay, we're going to work out which Scott was more prolific. I think it's going to be...
What, we...
Yeah, I think... look, he might have this one. All right, so the, you're right. Alien was his second movie. Isn't
that it? What was first, Legend?
No, The Duelists.
Oh, The Duelists, of course.
Which is a fencing movie. Keith Carradine, Harvey Keitel, Edward Finney.
Fuck, Albert dude, Finney, we should do a Scott fest.
Yeah, yeah.
They're Scott's. Like insanely
Scott,
great film.
You remember how Curse of the Sickest?
Yeah, Sickest Cunts Out There.
Sickest Cunt Out There.
Yeah, we should call it Sickest Cunts Out There.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Scott fest. Blade Runner 82. Legend. What's Legend?
Oh, Legend's amazing. Oh, dude, Cruise. It's Tom Cruise. Have you ever seen it?
No, I've never seen
dude,
Legend.
Dude, it's like dark adult fantasy. It's like he plays like a young warrior something hunting. He's got
Tim
like
Curry's in
Tim Curry plays like basically Satan in it. The makeup in this movie is amazing. It was all on a soundstage. And I think it's, who's the girl? Is it Jennifer Connelly?
Mia Sara.
Oh, Mia Sara. Dude, the shot of the, you know, in the director's cut onwards of Blade Runner with the unicorn?
Yeah.
So that was actually footage from Legend.
Yeah, right.
Legend is insane. It's crazy. Like, I think it came at like, I think it was too much ahead of its time.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the thing. After Blade Runner, he doesn't have a hit again for almost 10 years.
What, G.I. Jane?
he has Someone to Watch Over Me in 87, Black Rain in 89, then Thelma and Louise in 1991.
Oh, Thelma and Louise. Yeah, that's such a huge comeback.
There's a Brad Pitt one.
That was like culturally massive.
1492 comes after that, then White Squall, G.I. Jane, and then it's almost like another 10 years. Just like there's 9 years between Blade Runner and Thelma and Louise, there's 9 years between Thelma and Louise and Gladiator, which I think is his next big massive hit, really.
Gladiator, yeah. Gladiator, I would say, is probably the movie he's remembered most for now, right? And Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, for sure.
Blade Runner, Alien, and Gladiator, I would say, are like the three. Because Gladiator won Best Picture, Best Actor.
But then like he's actually like, it's a bunch of solid movies after that.
Dude, do you know the weirdest movie in his resume after that? I think it's called A Very Good Year.
A Good Year, yeah.
A Good Year, and it's like...
A Very Good Year must be the sequel.
Yeah, it's one I'm working on, actually. And it's like, I was talking about this, like, I was looking at his filmography recently, and I was just like, this movie's so weird. It's like almost like a comedy, and it's about, like,
Russell Crowe
takes over, like, a vineyard in Europe. It just is such a strange movie.
Yeah, he's got Hannibal, Black Hawk Down, Matchstick Men. Black Hawk Down
is sick.
Kingdom of Heaven, I don't know that one.
You know, he's in Kingdom of Heaven was like his Crusades epic.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Which everyone's like, it is one of those instances, because I've seen the theatrical cut and I can't really remember. I saw it at the cinemas. It was fine. I think I went along wanting like another Gladiator, but just didn't hit because like, what's his name? Who's the lead?
What's his name?
Orlando Bloom is not Russell Crowe. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that magnetism. But a lot of people say it's like one of those movies that is vastly improved in the director's cut.
Yeah, right. But I feel like he never really, when he tries to revisit things, no one likes Prometheus.
He doesn't like it. He even came out recently. I liked Prometheus and Covenant, but I'm also like, why are you making these?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It would be like Steven Spielberg making Jurassic World. You know what I mean? You're just like, you don't need to do that. Like, you made Jurassic Park.
Yeah. He did...
That Egypt one is supposed to be, like, insane, where he just, like, whitewashed...
Yes.
He had, like, Christian Bale and Joel Edgerton as, like...
Exodus Gods and Kings.
Yeah, but I'm, like, very curious to see that.
He does Prometheus, Robin Hood, Body of Lies, American Gangster. Dude,
Robin Hood is such a crazy cast. I think it's...
Russell Crowe, obviously.
Well, it's Russell Crowe.
Cate Blanchett, William Hurt, Mark Strong, Mark Addy, Oscar Isaac, Danny Houston, Eileen Atkins, and Max von Sydow.
Yeah, it's tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Martian.
Oh, Martian's great.
A massive hit.
That's like his last big hit, right? Like crowd pleaser, I'd say. That was like
nominated. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess everyone talked about House of Gucci last year.
Yeah, people, it's like divisive. Dying to watch it. It's got the person who did the music from Top Gun Maverick in it.
From the top.
Lady Gaga, of course. And Jared Leto, where he snorted all the pasta sauce. How have we not watched this movie?
Yeah, so I think you could say that Tony Scott has more hits than Ridley, but Ridley is more prolific. Ridley has left a more lasting mark on.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I don't know about hits.
He's for the thriller genre. Like Denzel is a star.
He's a star, but he also
due in part. He's to not the Tony
he's
Scott's
not the
movies.
Star that like Tom Cruise is.
He's pretty close.
People don't talk about the new Denzel Washington movie like they talk about the new Tom Cruise movie.
Well, that's because people don't think Denzel is insane.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like he's not like we don't know, like Denzel's not in a cult that we know of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, plus, like his son's a great actor. Like Tom Cruise would never let any of his children act. I think. Like, Denzel's, like, too relatable almost. Like, he has a family.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Cruise just exists in a vacuum of, like, sound stages. And I think he's just, like... Tom Cruise is living, like... He's one of the most fascinating, polarizing figures of the last, like, 100 years, I think. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He started off as, like, someone who was sexy cover shoots for Rolling Stone magazine in the 80s. Started off in, like, teen heartthrob stuff. And then, like, you know, Risky Business was such a success. Like, worked his way up and has now become this, like... Like, he runs, like, these movies like a well-organized militia.
Mm.
Like, remember the new Mission Impossibles we haven't seen yet? They, like, moved a soundstage essentially to, like, a cruise ship.
Yeah.
So he could film it during COVID.
Yeah,
and
totally.
He got so angry when someone wasn't wearing a mask. Remember, he, like, snapped? Remember that?
And someone filmed it. Like,
he's like, how dare you? We worked so hard on bringing this entertainment back to people who need it now. And, like, he's just like, I love movies so much.
Yeah, I mean... I think, like, you know, one of my favorite acting roles of Tom Cruise is the movie that he made where he went and saw Tenet.
That's one of the, like, that's his, like, I'm not there with Joaquin Phoenix. It's his, unbearable weight of, like, enormous talent.
Like, it's not like Warner put out, because Warner put out.
He just did it himself.
He has
he's Mr. Paramount.
That's crazy.
He's just like, I love movies. Dude, when are him and Nolan going to make a bop?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Nolan's like the director who is, he's probably the closest, like.
He'll go to Nolan and be like, Nolan, I want you to direct the movie that I die in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've probably signed that pact years ago. He's just like, Nolan is the director who is like, I guess, constantly.
I want you to be the director
lumped in
that kills
with the
me.
Same thing, like the same type of, like, bound, like, not boundaries, but the like devotion to cinema that. Most people now wouldn't because of insurance or couldn't because of cost. But, you know, like we love Fast and Furious, but like I'd say 99% of the cars in the movie, they're CG models, you know, it's just.
This felt so practical. And like
what it is. But so, I mean, think of like the Tenet car chase. Remember how that was all done practically?
Yeah, totally.
And like No, they, like any other studio or like anything would just say no to a director now, especially like a new director coming up. But it's like they're the only, I could see them working together. I don't know, maybe their dick swinging contest would be too much.
Yeah. I'll never call this movie Top Gun Maverick, by the way.
It's Top Gun 2.
Top Gun 2.
From the top.
From the top.
I don't know why they didn't call it that.
So it was written by Aaron Kruger, who, oh man, his fucking rap sheet is disgusting. So one of the three writers is a guy who wrote like the Ring remake and a bunch of Transformers movies. Like,
yeah, I remember. And another weird franchise film.
He wrote Dumbo. He wrote the Western remake of Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he has a trash back. This is
what, like, a weird, but like, so.
So he co-wrote this with Eric Warren Singer, Eric Warren Singer did like American Hustle, Only the Brave. Oh my god, dude! Guess what Eric Warren Singer's next movie that he's writing is?
Hint, please. Morbius 2?
Pick a card, any card.
Well, then he's already been put into the Hall of Fame. So Now You See Me 3.
Yeah, Now You See Me 3.
Unbelievable.
He's the writer on that. That's exciting.
You could see Tom watching the Now You See Me card scene and being like, I'll learn to do that for real.
But so the third co-writer is Christopher McQuarrie.
Yeah, so he was brought on later because you notice it's like those two. You know when they credit people and it's like
those two names
it's
together, two people
and then it's and Chris McQuarrie. So he did the rewrite and I think that was at Tom's like, because Chris McQuarrie and Tom have had, like, over the last decade, huge success. Like, I think, was their first Live, Die, Repeat? Or Edge of Tomorrow?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because he wrote that.
Yep.
Did he direct it?
I'll keep looking this up if you like.
Yeah, I'll have a look. You take care of this guy. I'll do Chris McQuarrie.
So he wrote and directed Jack Reacher.
Chris McQuarrie?
Yeah.
Yeah, and which is good.
That's 2012, and then Edge of Tomorrow.
You know who the villain is in that?
He did Valkyrie, too.
Yeah, wow.
He was like...
But Bryan Singer directed that.
Yeah, he was right. He wrote and produced it.
Right. You know, Werner Herzog's the villain in the first Jack Reacher. He's like has a disfigured face and just plays like an evil villain.
Fuck, he was one of the writers of The Usual Suspects.
Bryan Singer.
He wrote The Usual Suspects, yeah.
The Tourist, remember that movie, the Johnny Depp, Angelina Jolie one? He wrote that.
Man, McQuarrie's a real one.
Wave the Guns, the first movie he directed.
Oh, he's uncredited writer on X-Men. So you're right, he did heaps of shit with Singer.
Ooh, I hope he didn't do all this shit with Singer. I hope this was a strictly professional. Oh, remember that weird... Jack the Giant Slayer with Ewan McGregor fighting giants? That was like Bryan Singer's last movie before all the like... Oh no, that wasn't. Oh no, it was Ewan McGregor.
He did...
So you're right, Edge of Tomorrow. That's... Yeah, Jack reaches his first like... Oh no, you're right. Valkyrie's where they would have met. And then Jack Reacher, then Rogue Nation onwards is just like basically he wrote The Mummy, that stinker.
Yep.
Which is concerning.
Oh, your favorite. Your Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, my Multiverse of Madness. The Dark Universe. Yeah, the Dark Universe. He attempted to start that. But now he's done Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 and Part 2.
So the director of Top Gun 2 is Joseph Kosinski. And he, after doing like heaps of work in CGI for
That's
other
right.
movies.
That's right. He was like a computer animator, wasn't he?
Yeah. His big screen directorial debut is Tron Legacy.
Which is insane.
In 2010.
Like to think of that as someone's first film.
I've never seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but that's like Daft Punk did the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like that film is almost
Jeff
like
Bridges,
one of the first Lego sequels.
Well, yeah,
where
it
was like
the word legacy in the
but where it casts like actors from
of
the
course.
Original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the original Top Gun 2.
So this is in his first Lego sequel.
So yeah, he directed that, and then in 2013 he does a Tom Cruise movie. He does Oblivion,
which came out the same time as After Earth by M. Night Shyamalan, and everyone was like, they're very similar.
It
films.
Also reminds me of what's the Matt Damon movie?
Elysium. Oh, Elysium by Neil
Blomkamp. Yep.
Yeah.
So Oblivion is like a rare Tom Cruise movie that you haven't seen, huh?
Yeah, it's a rare one.
Noon said that like all the Tom Cruise stuff is good, but all the Morgan Freeman stuff is boring.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, and then he did Only the Brave, which is like a biographical drama movie with Josh Brolin, Miles Teller, Jeff Bridges, Taylor Kitsch, Jennifer Connelly. Looks like is about firemen or something. Elite crew of firefighters from Prescott, Arizona, in 2013. He did that, and then Top Gun Maverick. He actually has another movie coming out this year called
Spider-Head, Is that new? Is that part of the Spider-Verse?
With Chris Hemsworth and Miles Teller.
So Teller's a bit of a new muse for him.
And it, most of it was filmed in Australia.
There you go. Dude, Teller rocked in Maverick.
It's a Netflix movie coming out next month.
Okay, interesting.
But I think it was like they remember when there was that weird bubble where Australia had no COVID, so Hollywood came here and filmed a bunch of shit.
Yeah,
I think we're going to see a bunch of those movies now, and then we'll never see any movie made here again.
Teller was so good in Maverick.
Jesus
Christ. I know he's like a divisive guy that people like hate. I know he's done interviews where people are just like, he's a cunt and stuff. But also like, I think he was 20 when he did those interviews, which I'm not like discounting, but it's just like, yeah, a lot of people who get like famous fast are a cunt.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know. Like, I've always thought he was great in Whiplash. He was fantastic in another divisive thing that I forget the name. The Nicholas Winding Refn series, the one that was on Amazon Prime.
Oh, I never watched that.
So I haven't finished it. I would like to actually go back and watch it.
It's like really slow, right?
With some episodes, 2 hours long.
Yeah.
It's like a series of movies, but he plays like the lead detective in it.
Is it Too Old to Die Young? Is the name of it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But he's such a weird, he's such an interesting looking actor. Like, he's just like, there's something magnetic about
him. He's also in that insane looking show, The Offer.
Oh, yeah. It's the one about the making of Godfather.
Yeah. Have you seen any clips of it?
No.
Dude, I'll play you a clip. Wait till you hear
it. Does it look schlonky?
The fucking accents are absolutely twisted.
So this movie, I'm reading now. Top Gun
reminds me heaps of the Queen movie that what's his name was in.
Rami Malek.
Continue what you were saying.
So Top Gun 2 development began in 2010 when Paramount made offers to Bruckheimer and Tony Scott to make a sequel to Top Gun. Chris McQuarrie received an offer to write its screenplay, which was rumored to have Tom Cruise's character Maverick in a smaller role.
This movie would like.
It needs Top Gun Maverick.
It could have been so shit. Like, it could have been this shittest movie. Like, it's them fighting like a literal war.
So then Tony Scott was asked about it, and he said, this world fascinated me because it's so different from what it was originally. I don't want to do remake.
Wait, this is in like 2010 or something?
Yeah, I don't want to do a remake. I don't want to do a reinvention. I want to do a new movie. The film will reportedly focus on the end of the dogfighting era and the role of drones in modern... This is what I remember hearing when it was first announced. And that Cruise's character Maverick will fly a F-A-18 Super Hornet. But after Scott's suicide, the sequel's future remained in question. But crazy. Bruckheimer remained committed to the project, given Cruise and Kilmer's interest. And then in 2017, Cruise revealed it was Top Gun Maverick. And I think that was like... that was probably like just after Fallout came out.
Can I play you a clip from
The Please,
Offer?
Brother.
Not sure I'm a starving artist.
Can you make that brighter? Artist. Or is it just a dark scene?
Hang on, I'll make it brighter, sorry.
You've got the movie respect to brightness on.
Where do you fit it? Not sure I'm a starving artist, but I'm definitely a starving actor. I hope you don't mind I ordered the menu out.
Listen, you agree to read for Michael, I'll take you to Chazen's once a week until you die.
I read the book.
Oh my god.
It's not bad. But,
who's playing Pacino?
Michael's the lead, right?
One of them, yeah. He's the Don in waiting.
See, that's my problem, man. I guess I just don't see myself as elite.
That's Alex Winter, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't Alex Winter the dude from Bill fucking and Bill and Ted? Yeah.
It's not him.
No.
I thought that the makeup was so good.
Yeah. That voice is fucking like a good gremlin. Yeah, I don't see myself as a lead. Yeah. Are you looking up Al Pacino actor, The Offer?
Yeah. I mean, that looks ridiculous. Who plays Coppola, who's not in that clip you just showed me?
I don't know. I don't even know who Miles Teller is, but he has a deep voice in that. Did you see him?
Yeah. He was good in it.
Yeah, sure. We didn't sound like a gremlin.
It's got 48% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Anthony Ippolito.
Who plays that?
That's the guy who plays Al Pacino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dan Fogler plays as Francis Ford Coppola. Oh, Michael Gandolfini's in it. James Gandolfini's son.
Right. Miles Teller plays the producer Albert S. Ruddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
What are we? And Dan Fogler plays Coppola. Yeah, right. Are you interested in that movie? In that series?
Not at all. Are you?
No.
Like again, I'd rather watch.
I'm not a Godfather guy.
They're great films, but like I'd rather watch a documentary on it than like a dramatized, like as if that conversation happened at a restaurant. You know what I mean? Like
I
that.
I just don't see myself. I ordered the menu. I hope you don't mind. Yes.
Wow. Speaking of voices and people doing impressions, did you see that mad one of the, you know, as we said that this movie actually should have been called Top Gun White Boy Summer at one point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a particular scene with just like a bit of fun on the beach. Again, no spoilers. but did you see I guess you could call him the instigator of White Boy Summer, Chet Hanks. Did you see him, that video of him this week doing the rounds of just him being interviewed and then just breaking into a Joker
that
impression?
So she's a girl that used to be on, she got real famous on TikTok and now she has a show on
I believe
Showtime.
So. Yeah,
so
maybe.
His name is like Ziwei or something.
Yeah.
Sorry if I butchered her name. I'm sure I did, but.
Sure we did.
She's awesome. She's so funny. Like she just like, she asked like these questions and he's just.
Doing the Joker.
Oh my God. Fucking hell. The Joker shit is crazy.
I was thinking about
it
today.
She looks so frightened.
He seems to be like the amalgamation of all of the Jokers.
Yeah, yeah.
He is like.
And then he starts doing Denzel.
Well, he's like, yeah, he's like a, he's like a entertainer who can't seem to make it.
Yep.
So Joaquin Phoenix's Joker.
Yep.
He's got the Heath, you know, voice and everything down pat. And he has the tattoos and body of Jared Leto's Joker.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the Giga Joker. It's like it's insane. And then he does Denzel. And she's like, why do you do like that? Why do you impersonate black people? And he's like, I don't know. And then he's just... She's like, what are you thinking when you do that? He's like, nothing. I'm just doing impressions. And I'm like, thank you. It's like, literally, he's not doing... He's literally just doing impressions. His Joker shit is insane. And he's also sitting in a studio with lighting and a crew just with a shirt off. Like,
yes,
just
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
And he's just like... After he does an impression, he just starts giggling to himself.
You haven't seen the Atlanta episode with him in it?
Not yet, right? No. I've almost finished season two.
I saw a tweet like comparing a lot of like basically comparing mostly like Atlanta and then Kendrick's new album.
Okay,
because they both kind of deal with like cancel culture in a way that some people approve of and other people don't. But like I think both they're going to be considered like these flawed masterpieces.
Yeah, you think? You think so?
Oh yeah, man. Like I think they're both undoubtedly masterpieces, but I think they're like a warts and all situation.
Well, maybe challenging.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Flawed makes it sound like to me like the creator fucked up.
Right. I think there's like I don't know. I think if you get too far into this is mostly from like some Atlanta episodes this season. It's like what is he really trying to say?
Sure. I haven't seen it sadly. Yeah. But no, I think the Kendrick album is like really clear with what it's saying to me. It's like about cycles of like years of like inherited trauma and stuff. And I know he spoke to Eckhart Tolle, that therapist. There's like a video of it online last year. I remember that happening. And Eckhart Tolle's like sampled on it, his conversation with Kendrick.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it like, again, this is not the time that we're going to talk about it because I need to listen to it way more. But I think it's about like inheriting, and again, it's like not me, it's like inheriting like a black American experience and cycles that come with that and then like deciding to end them.
Yeah.
Is what I can kind of make of the record.
Sure.
Him being like, I'm ending this thing that I used to be a part of, or this is a cycle that repeats itself and there's like a lot of trauma. And here's why people actually do repeat the cycles. Like maybe we shouldn't be as hard on people because they're like victims of a cycle. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've got to listen to it a lot more, but I've listened to it maybe 5 times in full since it came out, which is a long thing.
I'm twice through. It's a lot.
It's challenging. You know, it's shorter than To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah, it's shorter than Bad Bunny's album.
Yeah, but it isn't every album. it is a confronting, challenging album.
Yeah, I think, and also like, it's funny because I feel like Good Kid, Mad City was like
an
album just all bangers. Like,
it was classic perfect West Coast.
As a DJ though, it was like, yes, I can play fucking
everything. You can play
like
90%
of this album is ready for the club. And then he does To Pimp a Butterfly has like maybe one song that
King
Kunta
maybe do.
Okay, King Kunta and then all right. Be Alright. They're the two songs I really only play from.
And then Damn was like Good Kid, Mad City. In the
Damn
sense.
Is like every song I can play, and the crowd goes fucking bonkers.
See, Damn, I think I said it last week. It was like I was disappointed that was the album that came after To Pimp a Butterfly, I guess, because Kendrick was not disappointed, but I was just like, oh, okay. To me, I was quite shocked that it was the album that like got him a Pulitzer and stuff, where I think he spoke about what Pulitzer people would lap up like better on earlier albums. I found it interesting that it was this album that to me was like, just like, it could have been like a best of. It's like, here's every genre of like popular.
Well, except songs that you could play in the club.
Like,
I don't think I could drop a single one, song off. No, sorry.
No, I'm talking about Damn.
I'll tell you what, Damn. Okay, sure. Yeah, of course.
No, I'm talking about Damn, where it's just like, here's the Rihanna collab you want. Here's,
of course, yeah.
Here's
yeah.
Humble. Like, you, it, like, yeah, so much of that
new
I was
one.
Disappointed
oh, yeah,
with
yeah, right, sure.
that Damn was like the follow up to Pimp a Butterfly, because to me it was like, I don't know. I think because To Pimp a Butterfly was such a like challenging, strange record, I thought he was going to do that again, but it was kind of like, or no, go further, but it was kind of like almost safer. And not in a bad way. Like, I think it's a great album. But then when I heard Mr. Morale.
The beat selection is like one of the best, like, modern rap albums.
Oh, it's insane. A lot of it's Alchemist, right? Yeah. And it's incredible. Like, it's a great hip hop album and a great album. But I just thought, for some reason, I thought from Good Kid to Pimp Butterfly, Mr. Morale and The Big Steppers is actually the album that I thought was going to come after Damn. But maybe now I'm like, you know, it was probably good. There was like, now it could be a palate cleanser.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is like, he had like writer's block for 5 years. I didn't realize. And like thought he couldn't do anything again. But it's like confronting and it's hard. And it's like modern classical jazz based, like almost. Like there's a lot of sparse piano, a lot of like tap dancing.
So much tap dancing.
It's insane. Yeah, yeah. But it's like, the best thing about it is I still don't really know what it's all about yet. And it will demand... Yeah, much.
I think that's a good like, companion piece to Atlanta, especially like, I mean, obviously this is me talking as just a white dad, but
well, you're allowed like, to. There's like this media that you can consume. Yeah, it's not like no, it's like sure. Do not consume.
But I mean, this, you know, but I'm, you know, it's just my interpretation.
Totally. Of it, though, yeah, it's well, it's no one else's.
Yeah, yeah. But like, yeah, I think that they.
Don't worry, I'm not gonna go Chet Hanks interviewer on you and be like, why are you talking about the Kendrick Lamar album?
I'm just doing an impersonation.
Because I'm the fucking Joker, baby. Yeah, yeah. How do you think I am?
My joke is terrible. I'd never go there. Pretty bad.
Which Joker?
Cesar Romero.
I'm going to do a...
I can just show you. My Carmel joke is pretty good.
Okay, you do my Carmel. I'm going to close my eyes. Because out of respect, because then it's
I forget what he sounds like.
Like, ooh, Batman. Yeah, I can't wait to suck your dick. I can do... I'll do Jack if you want.
Okay.
This town needs an enema. Is that good?
Yeah, it's perfect.
I'm just like a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do if I found one. I don't know how Jared Leto sounds. What is he like again? He's like, honka, honka. Yeah. Yeah. And Walken's like, Murray, you know what? Well, here's the thing, Murray. I don't know how to do Walken Phoenix's. Jax is the all-time one for me. You know the thing about modern art? He's like...
Yeah, Jack rules. We were talking about I think one of the best photo shoots of.
Yeah, we're saying you can't eat in. What was the conversation? We're like, you can't eat in water?
How, why were we talking about water and eating in water? We're talking about. Was the cinema about to get flooded or something?
I don't know. We're saying, like, you can't eat in water. I think Noon said. No, I was like. We're speaking about like that thing about like, oh, if you get concussed, they say like, don't let someone fall asleep, which I was like, that's actually medically wrong now because it's been disproven. And then I was like, yeah, lump it in the same category as don't eat while swimming.
Don't eat 10 minutes.
For a swim. Yeah. You have to let food digest for an hour or some shit, which I think it was just like parents.
Totally fair. There's no medical.
There's none, but I think it was just parents all agreed.
It's like you'll sink.
They were just like, I'm actually vibed out after eating and I don't want to watch that little cunt maybe drown. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I can't be bothered to like watch them swim. So I'm going to sit this one out. And then Noon said, oh, but how come I always feel like sick or something? And then I was just like, well, you know, they got to... You can't eat while you... I don't know. Basically, we're talking about that Jack Nicholson, that Pap series of him just on a yacht, shirt off, like, just big gut, huge tits, eating, like, a sub.
Fuck. And, like, gobbling it up in
surrounded
the water.
By, like, six gorgeous young women. And wearing sunglasses, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, all the girls are, like, chugging booze as well. Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking the other day, I reckon he'll be one of my RIPs. Because I was like, when he dies, that's, like, an era. Because Dennis Hopper's gone.
Yeah.
So many people, like Peter Fonda, all these, like, I'm just thinking of people he was making films with in the 60s. So many people are gone and he's like barely does anything now.
Do you reckon he'll act again?
What was the last thing he did?
He spilt a tub of chili all over himself
at an NBA game. At the Lakers. Yeah. I don't know. But he's kind of like he's a legend. Like he was up, like he's like 60s Hollywood that's still around.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that's crazy. And he's like never gotten like, he's just like a dude that was known for like fucking around, right? And being like a womanizer.
Yeah.
And like, he's a guy who plays himself.
You know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Isn't
he like a rapist in that movie?
I was like, yeah, it's,
you know, like, he fucks a 14-year-old girl, but you're going to be like, he's the protagonist.
Well, yeah, exactly. So like everyone, it's like the most, whenever anyone goes to a mental asylum in like The Simpsons, in Futurama, yeah, in like anything, it's a, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest parody. But yeah, like he gets arrested for having sex with an underage girl and pleads insanity.
Yeah.
Imagine if they made that as a movie now.
Well, they couldn't make Clockwork Orange now either.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So his last movie was a movie called How Do You Know?
Oh, okay.
And he retired due to memory loss.
That's sad.
Yeah. How do you know? Reese Witherspoon.
This town needs Owen an enema.
Paul Rudd and Jack Nicholson. Got any, how about, can you do the, when he introduces Greg Kinnear and Helen Hunt's characters to each other in As Good As It Gets?
Helen the waitress, Simon the beep.
Kendrick would say it.
Oh, yeah. You know what, Simon?
Kendrick would say it.
Simon, have you heard Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers?
Kendrick would say the F slur as many times as...
Jack Nicholson says it. In.
As many times as you hear Danger Zone in Top Gun.
Yeah. I remember watching that movie in cinemas when that line hit, being like, that's... I was like my dad when David Letterman kept signing things Year of the Rat. I was like, that's the funniest shit ever, man.
Highway to the F slur.
Highway to the Danger Zone. He would be good as like an admiral.
Well, that's pretty much men. A Few Good Men. Yeah.
You know what, Tom? I don't think you're going to be flying today. And just takes his bad job. You've been stripped, Maverick. No, that's not him anymore. He's a fun voice to do.
Batman.
No, it's like, oh, sorry, oh no, that's Mark Hamill. Hamill. That's good Mark Hamill.
Trying to remember what he sounds
well,
like.
Well, Batman.
Yeah.
He's kind of good. He's got that like theater kid like. Batman. Well, Batman. And he sometimes gets that dark. He's like, well, yeah.
Maverick.
Well, Maverick. No, that's I can't do it.
It's like kind of Marge.
Maverick. Yeah. Oh, Maverick.
See how Kanye like sent a photo?
Kim looks like Marge.
That's still got haters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still the funniest guy. Even if he's like off the grid and hiding and not doing anything. You know what? I was excited about the new Kendrick album. I was like, I can't wait for Kanye to hear this.
Oh, because he talks about like Kendrick's like, I can't believe Kanye and Drake made up.
Well, I just think like it's, I remember when To Pimp Butterfly came out, like Kanye tweeted about it, which is like, this is so good, this is so important. And I just hope he hears this and like it challenges him as a artist and a like producer and stuff, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Kanye never throws out likes on Instagram. And when Kendrick announced this album, one of the like likes you see,
why do you
I was
know
like,
that?
Because I'm on like forums and the internet and Twitter basically just serves Kanye Neon Genesis, something. Kanye West and Star Wars stuff. You know how it's like topics on Twitter?
Yeah.
It's basically all I see, which is how I knew the Marge thing. It's just like a headline that was like Kanye West, you know, Kim Kardashian has panic attacks over what to wear now. And Kanye said she looks like Marge.
Hey everyone, guess what? We hit over an hour and we managed to not do any
Top
Gun spoilers.
This was Top Gun. We're about to get into Top Gun the Maverick episode. It's going to be more emotional, better stunts.
So when does Top Gun 2 come out?
Dude, they have a lot of faith in this movie. As you know, we have the untested Hey Fam rule that if a movie premiere is like the day, like 3 hours before the movie comes out, it's generally a stinker.
Yeah, totally.
It's very well, like...
Fuck, it doesn't come out until May 26th?
So I mean, it's like more than... It's like 2 weeks early.
What do we do with PayFam then?
Fuck it. Put it. Let's just save big analysis till then. Let's just keep doing Jack Nicholson impressions.
Okay, perfect.
Why don't we do the same episode we just did, but in new Jack Nicholson?
Okay, well, obviously we're going to talk about. We're going to review Top Gun 2 as Jack Nicholson and Mark Hamill.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to do a dramatic reading of the song "Auntie Diaries" as Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. And you found some heater information for us to go over in PayFam tonight as well.
Thank God you remember this shit, because I always go in a bit like, what the fuck?
We send each other way too much stupid bullshit. But the most exciting thing that you found was that someone has written a children's book about,
oh my God, about Trump
called The Plot Against the King. We're going to go through the synopsis, the plot synopsis of The Plot Against the King. Fuck, we've sent each other so many fucked things today. I sent you a cover of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by Bill Cosby. And you sent me a bunch of burgers from Burger King in Germany.
Which could be a meme. Like
They're like pregnancy, like craving burgers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what, Batman? I want to eat one of those burgers on my yacht. No, that's lost it.
But look, come and continue the Danger Zone because we're going to continue the Hey Fam experience.
This episode might have taken your breath away, but we're entering into fucking the Danger Zone.
It's almost 11 p.m. We're going to be recording until midnight. So it's a late one. On a Monday, we're recording as well.
Yeah.
So you got to see how wild
I am traveling for work.
I came to Angus's house with two cases of non-alcoholic beer.
So you know it's going to be a big night.
Come and hear what happens for the next hour over at patreon.com/heyfam. If you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extra episode of Hey Fam every single week. And every week is a doozy.
Seriously, people stop us in the streets.
They say you took our breath away.
Yeah, they put us in. They tag us in their Instagram videos of us at the Top Gun Maverick premiere. Dude, how many people were there? We've definitely got COVID.
I mean, I've already had it, so.
Oh, yeah. And it'd be sick if I got
lightning COVID. Doesn't strike twice.
You got it at Morbius.
Dude, I reckon I got that. So I got the Morbius strain of COVID, and then I reckon I got the Sonic 2 flu. That's why I got so sick.
The blue blur. He got the blue blur. The blue blur of.
I'm gonna get into the fucking flu and how much it fucked my family up.
So, you keep making everyone so sick in that house, don't you?
I didn't give them COVID. Just the Sonic.
It's crazy
flu.
You didn't give them COVID.
Yeah, because I hid in my office for a week.
Yeah, I love that. Even though the flu is like a disease that killed so many people like the millennia ago, now we're just like. With COVID, we're just like, I got to stay inside and wear a mask. And with flu, it's just like, yeah, fuck off. I'm sitting at the dinner table, you losers.
I got so sick, man. anyway, look.
I think I told you my like non-scientific medical reasoning why I think I didn't get COVID.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Because you had swine flu. Yeah.
I honestly think it like prepared me for it because that is the sickest I've ever been.
I can't wait to hear more about it in PayFam this week. Hit the $5 a month Patreon link. Again, it's patreon.com/heyfam. Plus, you get access to our Discord community where you can... Just get beautiful pictures of me.
We have a new channel called Drop a Pic,
and we'll be drop some pics of me, you and me at the at the Top Gun 2
premiere. I'm
actually
gonna fulfill the channel's wish.
There's a great photo of us holding our dicks in front. In front of it. What does the sign say? A Need for Speed.
A Need for Speed, and us just holding our junk.
That's great shit. Come and see it.
Because what's that thing like with the green line and it's like hides dick? You know how it's showing a beta thing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So we were being betas.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
And
us
then
to
the
do
other
it.
Photo we saluted.
We were being betas to.
Did you say beta or betas?
Beta. I'm not Greek.
Pledge.
The only Greek guest we've had on is Alexi. Mm. I'm sure he would fill us in.
And Jared Leto.
It's beta, isn't it?
Beta, yeah.
They say like alpha, beta, gamma.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how come no one ever says I'm a gamma? Is that below or is that better or worse than a beta?
Yeah, I think it's worse, but you're right. You think you'd go right down the bottom.
Yeah.
Maybe,
it's like how people say mid is when they're talking about things that are bad.
Yeah, I hate
No, it means middle ground.
Someone the other day just was like, oh, blah, blah is mid. And I'm like, don't say that. Like...
Yeah, but everyone, like, people will listen to, like, half a rap album and be like, oh, new Kendrick mid.
Yeah, and you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you just wanted to say that before someone else said it.
Yeah. Like, imagine if someone Top Gun Maverick.
I'll kill someone if they try and say Midverick.
All right, let's do it. It's
Top Gun 2 from the top.
Top Gun 2, I guess, again.
Tom Cruise, I guess. If you haven't seen Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie.
Just watch now, type in Tim and Eric.
It's part of, it's official Top Gun canon, as far as I'm concerned.
To me, it's like, you know how there's those the Marvel one shots?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is this one shot between Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick in the TCU.
I want to talk about that in a minute.
The Tom Cruise universe.
Yeah. No. The Tim and Eric $1 billion movie.
Oh yeah.
That's one of the best things you and me have done together. That isn't this podcast.
Watch that movie.
Just watch that movie together.
We bought it. Remember? It was like VOD.
Yeah, I still own I think the imported Blu-ray of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Patreon.com / Hey Fam. Come continue this conversation.
Au revoir, lovely people.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.